The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
A very good year, 1979, huh? This was the top song back then in that year of Iranian hostage-taking, record inflation, Soviet invasion, and My Sharona. The top song of 1979 by The Knack. So if you were lucky enough to be rich back in 1979, hey, you were just getting started. A new report from the Congressional Budget Office released this week shows that income for the richest 1% of Americans nearly tripled between My Sharona 1979 and the year 2007, a great year for Beyoncé. Irreplaceable, that's the top song of 2007. But the sad second verse in this economic lament shows that for the same period, 1979 to 2007, middle-income Americans improved by only 40%. As you go down the income scale, it turns out, the smaller your improvement. 1980 was the year Mr. Trickle-Down Ronald Reagan got elected. Remember that? This income gap suggests that nothing of the trickle-down took place over those 30 years. Instead, some voodoo economics have given us the worst wealth disparity in our country's history. What the heck happened? Joining us now is Catherine Wild. She's the president and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, a New York City business leadership organization. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Also with us is Timothy Noah, the senior editor at New Republic and author of the upcoming book, The Great Divergence. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Catherine, what did happen? I thought the trickle was supposed to be down, not up. These numbers seem to say just the opposite occurred. Catherine?
Well, I think that we can put it in the context of the last 30 years have been the globalization of the economy. We lost our manufacturing base, which was the key sort of entry point for into the middle class in this country for many years. And our education system went in the wrong direction. And so people really weren't well prepared to assume jobs in those growth sector service industries where we were creating them. So we've had a number of factors. And then, of course, most recently, we saw the loss of value come out of our housing market. And a home was the one secure piece of savings and wealth accumulation that most Americans had.
Interesting. And all structural issues in the economy described there by Catherine Wild, president and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, including that really important one. You used to be able to raise a family of four on a manufacturing job. You can't do that typically in America anymore. Timothy Noah, what do you see in these numbers?
Well, I think that certainly those were factors, but there were other factors as well. The decline of the labor movement, I think, was extremely important. And also the financialization of the economy and the deregulation of Wall Street were hugely important. You know, there are a couple of trends really at work here. One has to do with stagnating wages at the middle, but another has to do with fantastic takeoff in incomes at the very top, the top 1% that the Occupy Wall Streeters are talking about.
We're speaking with Timothy Noah, senior editor at the New Republic. Timothy, I wonder if we can draw some connections here then. We got that study out of the International Monetary Fund that said greater income equality positively correlates with stronger economic growth, meaning, of course, that the bigger the gap, the wealth gap in your country, the worse your overall economy is going to be. Is that also could be a contributing factor in what's going on with the nation's economy?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the experience in the United States, it has not always been the case that incomes have been growing more unequal. For half a century after the 1929 crash, incomes were growing more equal, or they were either growing more equal or they were remaining stable. And you know, after World War II, the United States experienced some of the most prosperous years in its history, certainly more prosperous than in its everything we've seen in the last 30 years. Maybe there's some sort of a cause and effect there.
Timothy Noah, senior editor at The New Republic. Catherine Wild is president and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, a business leadership organization here in New York. Catherine Wild, is this 1% top of the wealth gap a bubble in which people just keep voting themselves higher salaries, or is this an inevitable benefit of consequences that the wealthy didn't necessarily have the power to change on their own?
Well, clearly, the culture of Wall Street is one that we're all familiar with, which is making the most money possible. That is, but that has made had great benefits for America. Our big export now is financial services. The world comes to America to tap into the capital markets, and that's been, in many respects, created hundreds of thousands of jobs and been very good for people. It's not good this year when we're seeing bonuses down, layoffs at the large financial institutions. That's a problem.
But, Catherine, can I ask you just about that one thing, because we've just got about 2 minutes here, because it's so important. Is that financialization, that success in the financial markets as an export for America, isn't that, though, part of this transition away from manufacturing and middle-class benefiting industries that is actually causing this problem?
Well, really, the financial exports, really, in terms of jobs and revenues for this country, in a sense, was a gap filler as manufacturing left. I mean, manufacturing left for a whole series of reasons. Hopefully now we're seeing an opportunity to bring it back in terms of advanced technology-driven manufacturing and bringing back some of those jobs. And I think there's an opportunity to partner with the financial industry. There certainly have been excesses there, as everyone knows, but our entire country was living beyond our means. We were spending more than we had, and I think we've got to have a rethinking. The frustration of the business community is they feel people are protesting in the wrong places. They're protesting in communities and on Wall Street. They feel they can't do much about this, that we've really got to look at the federal government and some of the fundamental reforms in this country that are needed. And we were down there a couple of weeks ago with business leaders calling for comprehensive tax reform and a fairer system and the ability to create more jobs and immigration reform. So I think there's a lot in common between the protesters and what the business community is feeling in terms of their frustration with where America is at.
Catherine Wild is president and CEO of the Partnership for New York City. Timothy Noah, just 30 seconds. Is it going to be anger or economic reform that comes out of these numbers?
Well, I think probably certainly anger first, possibly economic reform afterwards. But it's a big challenge, and I think that we need to change government policies.
The Great Divergence is the upcoming book from Timothy Noah. He's senior editor at The New Republic, and we're talking about the wealth gap in America. What do you see in the wealth gap in your community? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.